Across the country, the mood seems to be changing about incarceration and looking at criminal justice reform, and that includes expunging criminal records. Here in Michigan, there is a bipartisan push toward expungement reform, making it easier for certain convictions to be hidden to the public. A bill allowing certain crimes to automatically be removed from someone's record after 10 years passed the House this week, along with a batch of other legislation making expungement easier. Here with us now is State Representative Eric Leuthoiser, who's a Republican from Branch in Hillsdale County. He sponsored House Bill 4980. Representative, welcome to Stateside.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
Let's start right at the ground level. What is expungement? We hear the word used, but exactly what does it mean?
Well, I first would like to clarify that there are two different ways of looking at this, and the word expungement is sometimes misapplied. Expungement is literally blotting something out so that if it never occurred, and that is typically done in a very narrow number of circumstances with a magistrate through an agreement. If you do X, Y, Z, then we will remove this charge. It'll be as if it never happened. Sometimes it happens for a first offender during the beginning part of their process and so forth. But expungement is quite rare, but it's used to kind of explain that idea of giving someone a fresh start or a clean slate. My bill actually applies to a process which is known as set aside, where the charges are not expunged per se, but they are only visible or considered in the future by perhaps, if someone reoffends, by a judge or a magistrate or a prosecutor. So for all intents and purposes, someone has a clean slate, they get that fresh start, they have that monkey off their backs, but the charges never really go away completely under my legislation.
So for the people that might have these past misdeeds hidden from public eye, the set-aside, what does that mean for people getting on with their lives?
It can mean everything. Human beings are complicated, and we have our consciences, and we've got our past, and we have our histories and so forth. And if someone has a misdeed and they did something when they're young, and that's out there, so to speak, kind of a cloud over them, they know it's there. Maybe if no one else even knows it's there, it can affect the way they approach employment, where they live, who they associate with, any number of things. And the powerful thing about this, from my standpoint, the automatic or default set aside, is that after a number of years pass by and someone's been a solid citizen, those things are automatically set aside, so they have that cloud lifted, and it just allows them a lot more opportunities. Now, clearly this is being looked at from an economic standpoint. It's a big motivator, because some people would now be eligible to apply for jobs that they wouldn't be eligible for otherwise. It'll make them eligible for housing they would not be otherwise be eligible for. There's a big economic impact to this. And that's a big driver for this conversation nationwide. But just philosophically, that's kind of where I was coming from on this.
And your bill and six others passed the House this week. Just give us a sense, broadly speaking, how would they change the set-aside and expungement systems in our state?
Absolutely. First of all, they did pass with wide bipartisan support. What this means is marijuana is now treated differently in the state than it was 10 or 15 years ago. A lot of those crimes are going to be, those offenses would be set aside. Traffic tickets, those kinds of things. On the auto or default set aside, now you go to into the courthouse and you petition to have your offenses set aside. Anyone can do that for a large number of crimes. And by making it the default, so it automatically happens, my bill would make it more like at the License Bureau, where if you have points on your license, maybe you're speeding or something, a couple years goes by, those points just drop off. It's narrowly tailored to offenses that are nonviolent. They don't affect trafficking, they don't affect crimes against elderly or juveniles and so forth. So we have put public safeguards in this process, put public safety front and center also.
Representative, you pointed to the very strong bipartisan support, and that certainly was reported. For example, Gangwar talks about this, used the terms extraordinary margins, and pointed out that it's the third time this term where criminal justice reform that in a prior term may have been an uphill battle to get out of either legislative chamber passed. So, very little pushback. Why do you think what's changed?
Well, I do think, in our role here, there's always a sense of what are priorities and what are urgent matters and those things sort of shift sometimes rather quietly and sometimes under the surface. This issue has been around for a long time. Some of these other issues I think you're speaking to, like civil asset forfeiture and so forth, some of those issues were around for years and years and years. And sometimes I think the momentum gets to a point where people look around and say, let's just get this done. We've been talking about it long enough. I think there's probably as much to the calculus to that underlying momentum as there is to any other gaming out you could do as far as a partisan breakdown or divided government. I really do think it was just time. Hmm. I think that's the case with this legislation. I know I started talking about it several years ago. So the stakeholders start talking about it. You start to get more stakeholders. You reach out to more people. You find out you've got other people that are also interested in it. And, the momentum kind of builds gradually and gets to a point where you can get something done.
There was a question about this from Bill Valancourt, who's president of the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan, who says he wouldn't trust an algorithm to sort out someone who deserves expungement from someone who doesn't. Let's take a quick listen.
For example, a generic malicious destruction of property might involve vandalizing a car. Nobody'd have a problem with expungements there. But it might also involve vandalizing a church with racial epithets.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think those are fair concerns. I've heard from caucus members that were not excited about this process, that they thought that it was important to always have a human being have one last look at each set aside or expungement. I would say, and I would like your listeners to know, that this bill that I'm talking about and that I sponsored does have a lot of technical hurdles in front of it. We currently do not have the system, the IT system in the state or any state to make this, to effectuate these changes. Usually when we pass a bill, Cindy, we have, it takes effect 90 days after we pass it or even immediately. In the case of this bill, the effective date is 2 years from now or 2 years from when it's passed, because we need to get the IT system all built up and tested and double-checked and so forth. So I would say, the prosecutor's concerns will be heard and have been heard and will continue to be heard, over the next couple of years, as well as concerns other people may have. But I think the intent is clear. And when you have this wide support for the idea behind it, we shouldn't let a technical hurdle or, objections stop the intent. We should figure out a way to make it work.
Let's just talk big for a moment, Representative. There is this national shift in the way we look at criminal justice reform, and we look at incarceration and people who are incarcerated. How do you see these bills fitting into that national movement?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think just to maybe put a little bit finer point on it, I think there's a larger conversation about the amount of incarceration, not incarceration per se. We always will have victims of crime. If there's a crime, we should always keep in mind the victim's rights and restitution and notification and all those things. We can't forget that there were victims. But we are, you're right, as we look at criminal justice reform and the criminal justice system, it breaks down, in my mind, into different components. There's the deterrence component. There's the punishment component. But there's also the rehabilitation component. And that's kind of where this, I think, dovetails into that role, where we are looking at criminal justice in this reform movement, if you want to call it that, or this sort of ethos that we're getting right now, are we doing all we can with rehabilitation and reintegration? I don't think people are really interested in doing anything less for victims or less for their rights, but I think we are interested in doing more as a society in helping people that are successfully rehabilitated reenter society, and so that our better impulses to have these people reintegrate are not held up by barriers that may be there. The data tell us that when people are given a fresh start and a clean slate, then the set-aside will allow them to be seen not as former offenders, but as employees and taxpayers and fellow members of our communities. So that's what it's really all about, I think, is to make our society's goals for rehabilitation and reintegration match up with what we hope they would be.
Republican State Representative Eric Lighthizer, who is from the 58th District, and we want to thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.